WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now tuned into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. That's right, the man behind the mic here on this Friday edition of Current Sports, or should I say Friday. That's right. I know many of you are looking forward to the weekend. It feels like it's been a long week this week. It is February 3rd, 2017, and we have a great show to close out your week. On today's Current Sports, we will chat a bit about what took place last night as Michigan State Hoops was live and in full effect. Both the men and the women pulling out wins. How about that? Congratulations to Tom Izzo and Susie Merchant. Of course, Merchant is still out on that medical leave of absence. And by the way, Emeka Ogbuigwe doing a fabulous job as interim head coach. But two big wins for both of those programs. We'll chat a bit about that. We will also, of course, throughout this entire hour, have plenty of Super Bowl chatter. That's right, the Atlanta Falcons and the New England Patriots. On Sunday night, 6:30 p.m. is kickoff time on Fox. I want to know who you got. Are you going with Matty Ice or Tom Brady? Call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. And we have not one but two guests on today's Current Sports. In just a moment, live here in our studio, we will have Olympic royalty join us here in Studio S. His name is Franklin Gomez. He is a former Michigan State Wrestling National Champion and two-time Olympian. He competed in the 2016 Rio de Janeiro Olympics and the 2012 London Olympics for Puerto Rico. You do not want to miss this chat, folks. Looking forward to chatting with Franklin, the first time he's ever been on Current Sports. And later on in the hour, we will invite a man who we had briefly, and I do mean briefly, on Current Sports yesterday. That being Isaiah Hole, sports writer for Wolverine 247 at 247sports.com. He'll have another brief chat centered on Michigan football recruiting and so much more. Again, if you want to be a part of our airwaves, our phone lines are open. Call in and give us a Super Bowl prediction. Who you got, Patriots or Falcons? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports, or even tweet us at Al Martin WKAR or at WKAR _sports. But hey, you know how we get this shindig started. Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners. Miles Bridges and the Michigan State men's basketball team topped Nebraska last night on the road by a score of 72-61, snapping a three-game losing streak to the Huskers. Bridges led the Spartans in scoring with 16 points, and five Spartans scored in double digits. Michigan State shot over 50% from the floor, 55 to be exact, and 65% from the three-point line. Nebraska shot 39% from the floor and only 25 from deep. The Spartans won their first road game since December 27th. Wow, has it been that long? That's insane. Their record is now 14-9 overall and 6-4 in the Big Ten Conference. Michigan State is trying to make tournament for the 20th straight season. Magic Johnson has recently been hired by the Los Angeles Lakers as an advisor under Jeannie Buss. Now, the Lakers front office has had public issues since Jerry Buss passed away in 2013. The on-court struggles also began around that period. The Buss family is hoping that Magic, of course a local legend here at Michigan State, hoping Magic can come in and offer some type of guidance and direction for the team to go in the future. Now, it's no secret, of course, when it comes to the accomplishments of the Magic Man. He has done so much
for the Lakers organization as a player and post his career. It will be interesting to see how that new position pans out for him. Now to the MSU women's basketball team. After last night's dub, they have extended their win streak to not one, not two, but three. That's right. The Spartans were led by transfer student Taya Reimer from, of course, Notre Dame, who scored 15 in the game. Reimer scored 13 of those points in the second half. She also had a lot of help from her teammates, like senior guard Tori Jankowska. She's been great this year. Jankowska has been huge, and last night she dropped 15 points, grabbed 13 boards, as well as dished out 7 assists. In addition to Reimer and Jankowska's big night, the Spartans also had two other players score in double digits. Freshman guard Taryn McCutcheon, who of course played basketball here locally for East Lansing High School, and senior guard Brandi Agee tacked on a double-double, 11 points, 10 boards. Congratulations to the Michigan State women's basketball team. Doing a great job in lieu of the absence of Susie Merchant. All right, Michigan State hockey. That's right, Michigan State will host 18th-ranked Wisconsin on the ice tonight and tomorrow, with both games scheduled for 6 p.m. In their two-game series earlier this season, the Badgers swept the Spartans, winning both games by a score of 5-1. The Spartans are coming off one of their best series of the year, defeating rival Michigan in the first game and tying for the second. Freshman forward Taro Heroes has a goal and 4 assists in a 4-game point streak. The Badgers, led by junior forward Cameron Hughes, hope to defend their tie for first place in the Big Ten Conference. In contrast, Michigan State hopes to climb out of last place with a win. Another chapter of the Michigan State-U of M rivalry will be written Sunday afternoon as the Spartans will play host to, of course, the Wolverines at Jennison Fieldhouse. The Spartans are winless so far, that being, of course, the wrestling team, so far against ranked opponents this season, while Michigan Wrestling has a record of 4-5 against the top 25. The Spartans are looking just for their second win in the Big Ten, which would put the team at 5-9 for the year, while Michigan having a 7-5 record overall and 3-4 in the Big Ten matches. This will not be an easy task for the Spartans. And again, when it comes to Michigan State wrestling, we will have Spartan wrestling royalty live here in Studio S in a matter of minutes. Franklin Gomez, former Michigan State wrestling national champion, and also, oh yeah, he's a 2-time Olympian as well. He will join us in studio. He happens to be in town. Looking forward to that interview. The Detroit Red Wings are looking to avoid their worst losing streak of the season, I should say, in a game at home tonight against the New York Islanders. The Wings are 0-2-3 in their last 5 games, matching their longest skid of the season. Detroit is 4-5-5 in its last 14 games. Now, John Tavares, he leads the Islanders in goals at 19 and points at 41. Defenseman Dennis Schneidberg's plus 21 rating not only leads the Islanders, but is among the best in the NHL. Both teams are in the bottom half of the NHL when it comes to killing penalties and power play efficiency. This is the second of 3 meetings between the Wings and the Islanders this season, with the Wings capturing the first game 4-3 in OT. Tonight's game is scheduled for a 7:30 p.m. puck drop. The game will be televised on Fox Sports Detroit Plus and, of course, on the NHL Network. The Detroit Pistons are at home tonight, taking on Cat. That's right, Carl Anthony Towns and the Minnesota Timberwolves. The Pistons are currently 9th in the Eastern Conference, just a half game behind the Charlotte Hornets for the 8th place in the East. The Wolves are currently 12th in the West. The Pistons are 13-10 at home this year, while the Wolves are 7-16 on the road. The Pistons defeated the Wolves, if you remember, 117-90 on December 9th, 2016. And last, but certainly least, one of my favorite athletes of all time. It just hurts reading this, but Tiger Woods has withdrawn from the Dubai Desert Classic with back spasms. He shot a 5-over-77 in the opening first round. According to USA Today Sports, his manager said, quote, "Tiger Woods went into a spasm in his lower back fairly late last night. He got treatment done early this morning for 3.5 hours, but can't get it out. He says it's not the nerve, but back spasms, and he can't get the spasms to calm down." He can move around, but he can't make a full rotation in his swing, end quote. That is a developing story, and we will have more chatter centered on the struggles, the health concerns, I should say, of Tiger Woods later on this hour. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. 517-355-WKAR. Let's stop wasting time. Let's start the show.
Michigan State, Nebraska this evening for part one of two of the season series.
Now to the hottest guy on our team right now, Kenny Goins. A jump shot from the elbow, and he's got all four of Michigan State's points. Here comes Michigan State, and the three ball is fired by Ellis, and it's good by Cassius. A little shake and bake. Got an open look for three, but a little bit off the mark. Rebound board. Now to Winston. Cassius jump shot, top of the key, nothing but net for Cassius Winston, and that's his first two. Dribbling out front, dribbling around, bullet pass to Langford for three ball. He got it! How about that? Break, the pass goes in the side for three ball by McKay. No, the follow-up slam by Roby misfires. Rebound comes out to Tum-Tum Nairn, who brings it down, misses the layup, but the follow is up, and it's in by Alvin Ellis. His final score from Lincoln, Nebraska. It's Michigan State 72, and Nebraska's got 61.
Cassius played very well. Josh hit a big three late, but I did think they did a good job on those guards. You know, they scored some points, but we made them earn the points, and they didn't penetrate in there and kick out to get other guys like McVay have a big night, and I think that was the difference in the game.
I just feel like we've done a great job of preparing. And, you know, we finally brought it out on the court because a lot of times we have great preparation, but, you know, we're not necessarily bringing it out on the court. You know, we didn't necessarily play our best game, I feel like, but we just got it done. You know, we did the small things. And, you know, we just made sure that we got everything that we could and left it all on the court.
You know, we've been struggling on the road a little bit this year. And to do things we want to do with our season, we got to win on the road. So to kick it off in such a great fashion, you know, we play hard. We play good basketball for majority of the time. So if we keep that going, we'll be all right.
Oh, yeah, we definitely needed this win on the road. We know we're going to see him down the road again. But this is a good win for us. And we know we have to lock in for the next road games.
That is how we start this Friday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the show, ladies and gents, boys and girls. I am your host, Al Martin. I cannot believe it's already Friday. As I always say during this time of the week, time flies when you're having fun, and we have been having a ball, maybe too much fun, here on Current Sports throughout the week. Our phone lines are open, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Of course, we are just, what, really a day away from the Super Bowl? So we'll be having plenty of chatter centered on the Atlanta Falcons and the New England Patriots. I want to get your thoughts and predictions, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. But I wanted to start the show by acknowledging the Michigan State men's basketball team, a big win, a big road win for Tom Izzo's troops last night at Pinnacle Bank Arena. Mad props to the Spartans, which now sit at 14-9 overall, 6-4 in the Big Ten. Look at these numbers. Impressive, because we all know what the criticism has been when it comes to Michigan State on the road this year, right? Where has the focus been? Can they maintain a full 40 minutes or something close to that? 40 minutes of focus throughout an entire game on the road. Well, I mean, when you look at these numbers, I mean, the Spartans hitting 11 of 17 from deep, shooting 55.8% from the field. Also, again, this was a full team effort here. We weren't just talking about Miles Bridges leading the way for the team, right? We all know Miles is going to be Miles Bridges. He led the way once again with 16 points and 6 boards. But Michigan State also got 31 bench points, had 4 other players reach double figures. Alvin Ellis, I mean, what a pleasant surprise Alvin Ellis has been this year. He had 11 points. You heard a brief snippet from Alvin to close out that introduction montage. Kenny Goins, who is battling the flu alongside Nick Ward, I really hope that the rest of the team has Lysol on handy, all right? Because they can't afford to get anybody's, you know, just don't get sick, guys. Don't get sick. That's all I'm saying. But Alvin Ellis, 11 points. Kenny Goins balled out. Cassius Winston and Nick Ward each chipped in 10. Izzo used 11 players total. 7 of them scored. 8 of them grabbed boards. 5 hit three-pointers. Isaac, that's a full team effort, and this is the effort that we've been waiting for this team to have all season.
Yeah, it really was, and the thing that impressed me is the defense is finally picking it up. That's all about having a unit on the court at the same time who understands each other's responsibilities, where to be. It mainly is a man-to-man at most of the time as well, so having that help defense when somebody does get blown by, that made all the difference yesterday. It's not that they couldn't contain some of Nebraska's top players like Ty Webster, but the thing is, they held everyone else in check. And if you can do that, if you let one man destroy you, that's okay, honestly. But if you let an entire roster, if you let the bench warmers start to get going, then you're in for a world of trouble. MSU's entirely turned the season around with their defensive effort and, you know, having Nick Ward come off the bench, have that offensive spark there, but have the defensive presence of guys like Josh Lankford and Kenny Goins and people like that in the starting lineup makes all the difference in the world.
Next game at Michigan, Tuesday, 9 p.m. ESPN. Current Sports will be in the house. This is what I'm going to do. So we have such a jam-packed show, okay? Right now in our studios, again, we're going to open up the show just like I said. I want to get our listeners' thoughts on the Super Bowl. 517-355-WKAR. We'll be taking your calls throughout this entire hour. Right now, I have three of our PAs, Ian Hawley, Romero Hardy, as well as Zach Manning. Fellas, first off, how you doing? Happy Friday, everybody.
How you doing, Al?
I'm fantastic. How you guys doing, Zach?
Doing good. Ian? Good to see you.
Briefly here, because I'm going to bring you on later on in the show, because we do have our guest live in studio waiting to get on the mic in just a second here. Brief thoughts on who you think is going to pull out the big Super Bowl on Sunday out in Houston and why. We'll start on my right now. Ian, who you got and why?
You never bet against Tom Brady and the Patriots. Other than that, their record recently against the Falcons, Tom Brady is 4-0. Against them, they have the first ranked defense as far as points allowed, and they have the fourth ranked offense as far as total yards go. Now the Falcons have that high ranked offense as well, but they're ranked 27th in defense and points allowed. So I think it'll entirely rest upon how well the Patriots defense plays, but I give the edge to the Patriots.
Give me a score.
I'd say 35-32. Patriots.
That's the safe bet, right? Yeah. Romero, who you got and why?
You can't bet against Brady, which is why I'm not betting. But I got the Atlanta Falcons.
You do? Okay.
Any given Sunday, man, you look at a lot of the Super Bowls that the Patriots won, even 2 years ago against the Seattle Seahawks, that interception. And it wasn't Brady, it was the interception. Mm-hmm. So I look at more so what Brady's not going to do in Sunday's game. It's about the offensive line and defensive line, running backs. It's going to be a good game, though. I got the Falcons.
You got the Falcons. Give me a score.
27-24.
Okay. Everybody's in the 20s right now. Okay, Zach, who you got and why?
Yeah, I'm also taking the Falcons. You look at what Matt Ryan has done and what the Falcons did to the Packers a few weeks ago, just dismantling that Packers team. Matt Ryan, 7 touchdowns, 0 interceptions this postseason. And as Ian said, the Patriots' defense is pretty good, but they haven't seen an offense like this Falcons' offense. So I'm taking the Falcons 27-24.
Okay, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Again, Ian Hawley, Romero Hardy, and Zach Manning weighing in, or at least starting that discussion here on WKAR's Current Sports. We want to know who is going to win the Super Bowl. Right now, I want to invite right now our guests for today's Current Sports. Pretty big name that if you follow Michigan State wrestling, this name sounds pretty familiar, okay? His name is Franklin Gomez. Now, Gomez competed in the 2016 Rio de Janeiro Olympics, right? That just took place. also the 2012 London Olympics for Puerto Rico. He wrestled at Michigan State from 05 to 10 and was the 133-pound national champion back in 09. Two-time Big Ten champion in 08 and 09, and three-time All-American in 08, 09, and 10. I could go on and on with the accolades. We'll be here the entire hour if I did that. But right now we have him live here in studio as he makes an impromptu visit to East Lansing. Franklin Gomez, welcome to Current Sports. Franklin, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you guys for having me here, and it's my first time here. I'm excited to talk about anything, really.
Hey, do you follow football? You follow the Super Bowl?
I follow a little bit. Nah, not too much, because over there where I'm training now is a lot of wrestling, so I just stay busy with wrestling a lot.
And where are you training right now, Franklin?
Penn State. They have an Olympic Club regional training center there, so I just move over there because they have a lot of training partners, and it's the next step, the Olympics, World Championship, and things like that. And hopefully that's what we're aiming for, Michigan State as well, in the future, to have a Olympic Club so they can have all this elite athletes to come here train, so the other college guys don't have to leave. They can just stay here if they want to get to the next level.
Stay in-house, right?
Yeah.
That sounds great. So I'll tell you what, I'm gonna ask you to throw out a Super Bowl pick later on during the interview. But first, I want to talk about you being here on Michigan State's campus. I saw, as well, we also have in-house right now, Zach Fisher. I saw an email from Zach that you were coming in. And I'm like, oh my gosh. I mean, he's a two-time Olympian. I look at your accolades here at Michigan State. I mean, I definitely wanted to get you in. So first off, thank you for coming in. But what led to this visit here to East Lansing? Why are you in town, essentially, frankly?
Well, I haven't been here in a while, and with Roger and Chris and Wynn as the coaches now, they reach out to me and ask me if I was interested to come and just kind of share my life, my struggles here, and just shine some light.
Mm-hmm.
Just try to motivate them to pretty much to work hard and just take advantage of the opportunity that they have here. And that's kind of how I felt when I was here, man. I remember I never wrote a paper in my life when I got here to Michigan State.
Really?
Just because, like, my life was like, I moved from one place to another, and it's just like I didn't have the opportunity to stay in one system that allow me to take all the English, math, English, all the prerequisite that you needed to graduate from high school. So I moved, so they assume that I already took all the needed classes, right? To graduate. So I graduated. I just worked hard in everything I did, and by the time I got here, I went to the writing center the first time. I remember this, man. It was just like my first paper. I tried my best with the little English I knew, because I'm come from Puerto Rico, and it's just like I'm still learning.
Right.
And it was just like bleeding. The whole paper was bleeding, man. All red ink everywhere.
Literally, yeah.
Yes,
right.
Man. I was like, man, how am I gonna make it here, man? It's like I can't even. But I was just fortunate enough. I was blessed to surround myself with some teammates and some friends that also helped me, and I just put the effort, man.
Now, Franklin, I want to eventually dive into you being a two-time Olympian. I know you're just coming off a stint out in Rio at the Olympics there. You just mentioned, though, and correct me if I'm wrong, you're from Puerto Rico, right? But you were born in the Dominican Republic?
Yeah, so I was born in the Dominican Republic. Then when I was about 6 years old, my dad died. And they were doing a surgery, and he just died unexpectedly. Then my mom moved to, with me and my two brother, we moved to Puerto Rico because my mom had a friend there, and it was just better economically, you know, to help us, like, have a better education, a better place to live, and things like that. So I moved when I was, like, 5 or 6, and I just stayed there, made all my friends there, and then by the time I was, like, 16, 17, I'm like, man, I gotta make a move, man. I can't stay here. So I started wrestling when I was 12. So 4 years into that, I was already doing very well. I was just very disciplined, man. I was very serious with with wrestling and everything I did. I was very serious, and I just moved to the U.S.
Well, I want to go back to what you just said there. When you talked about, you know, as you got older, you said, man, I can't stay here. Why did you say that? What was the climate economically and culturally like in Puerto Rico that made you want to get out?
Well, the thing is, in Puerto Rico, wrestling wasn't really big at all. In fact, it's never been a sport that's big at all. Now, with the Olympics, World Championships, and even here being in Michigan State, as people hear more about wrestling. And I'm telling you, over there is baseball, basketball. There's no wrestling over there, man. Like, people, what are these two people doing? They're hugging each other, you know? It's just like...
it's like some foreign...
Yeah, unknown.
Prehistoric sport here. Right. Very unknown. Because I know baseball is huge down there.
Yes.
I had a chance to go to the Dominican Republic, actually, this past summer. A fraternity brother of mine was getting married, and... I mean, we would drive by, you know, just random parts of the city, and kids are just out there just playing baseball. You don't see that here in America.
No, man. It's just like here in the U.S., they have a sport culture. You know, so high school, you have all different sports, and college is just like so much going on with sports and everything. And, like, my coach was, like, encouraged me to use wrestling as a tool to achieve education. So I was just like, I just bought into that. And I was just like, you know what? I already saw all my friends and a lot of them make a lot of bad decisions, you know, and I have a chance to make a difference. So I'm going to take this very seriously. And I was just like, I just chew on that for many years, man. I think it's the way to go. You know, there's no shortcuts. There's no easy way. There's no easy route. You gotta sweat, man. You gotta make the sacrifice. So then later on, you can enjoy the benefits of all that.
Franklin, how did you get introduced to the sport of wrestling, seeing as though it's not that popular over there? And mm-hmm. how did you end up here at Michigan State eventually?
Well, when I was in high school, I moved from Puerto Rico 2 years in high school. I was just learning a lot of things, and I was being recruited by a lot of schools. I was a top wrestler in high school. During those 2 years, and I don't know, when I came here, I really, really, really liked the campus, man. It was like, if I'm going to be here, I want to be in a place that is beautiful. I tell you that. I tell you what, though. The winters is hard.
I was about to say that, yeah. I mean, like right now,
yeah.
You got to layer
winters,
up. It's,
yeah,
it's below, it's, you know, freezing temperatures outside. You got to wear boots everywhere.
Yeah, no love right now. But during the summer and spring, it's just like, beautiful. And also, I was just like, I told the coaches, listen, I'm a believer in Christ, and I'm really serious. I don't take me to any parties, don't take me to any weird hangouts or anything, like, because they ask you, once you're a top recruit, they ask you, what do you want?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, yo, give me some, like, Spanish food if you can, you know, and like, and they just, I just want to, like, get to know the people.
Right.
If you want to hang out or anything, just let's go bowling, you know, let's go just... find me a church I can go to, you know, I can grow spiritual too as well. And surprisingly, Michigan State was the only one who did that. I'm telling you, man, I went to like other top schools. And
can you name those schools at all?
I went to Oklahoma,
okay.
Pittsburgh. What else? I was Arizona. I was going to go to Arizona State.
Ash, I'll be there this weekend, actually. It's funny you bring that up. Okay.
Yeah, it was like a few schools I was going to go to, and I don't know why, I just canceled my visit, and I was just like, these people are taking me seriously, and I just appreciate the respect they have for me from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm like, they probably didn't know I was going to be this serious, but I take things, I don't take my education here for granted. I mean, I feel so privileged, so blessed, and I was gonna do.
And I'm sure
everything.
A lot of it has to do with your background, Franklin. I mean, when you come from an area like Puerto Rico, and of course the DR, it's humbling when you come to a situation like here in the States and you see the environment. And I find that so intriguing, though, when you talk about your recruiting visit for Michigan State and how a lot of recruits. I'm sure there are a lot of recruits who, when they go on their visits, they want to see the girls and the parties and the what's the nightlife like, right? And your mindset was totally different. I'm pretty sure a lot of those schools weren't prepared for a visit like that, maybe, right?
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, I it wasn't that I wasn't really interested in any of those things. I was just like, you know, when I left, I had no dad, so my mom was my mom and my dad. So I promised my mom I was gonna just, Mom, if you let me go, like, because she didn't want to let me go. I was 16, 17 years old when I left from Puerto Rico. I was like, I promise, Mom, I'm going to, like, behave. I'm not going to, you know, I'm going to, you're going to thank me later because I'm going to take this seriously, Mom. And, like, hey, she didn't let me go for a while, and I was just every day insistent. And I just wanted to be a man of my word. I wanted to keep my word, and I wasn't going to let no girls, no parties, nothing get in the way of me fully taking advantage of this great opportunity of being here.
If you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with Franklin Gomez, former Michigan State Wrestling National Champion and two-time Olympian. Franklin, real briefly here, I want to bring up your mom. When you came here to Michigan State, I know that was tough leaving her. How much communication did you have with her when you made the move? And how did that relationship grow over time throughout your years here at Michigan State?
Well, once I got here, I mean, I was able to talk to her a lot, especially about the cold weather, you know, things like that. And just like,
she's like, snow, what is that?
Yeah, well, it was just like, it's easy. I always talk with my mom all the time, and it was just easy for me to share my frustration, my feelings, and everything. And, but also, on the other hand, I was kind of independent a little bit. I was always like, you know what, I got to like make friends here. I gotta like find mentors here. I gotta find this is a place I chose. This is a place I'm gonna live. This is a place, you know, I gotta just make move or make excuse, mm-hmm. you know? And so I did talk to her, but then became a point where I was just like trying to look for people here. Cause I knew eventually I'm not gonna have my mom always. Right. So I was just trying to kind of like, I was in a phase of growth. You know, just trying to be more independent, more adult, if you would say.
Yeah.
You know?
What was the biggest cultural adjustment you had to make when you came here to East Lansing?
Man, people here are like crazy about sports, man. They're like, I could not believe.
You had no idea, huh?
Man, I could not believe, like, how many people, like would get together for a football game. For just like any really sport, but especially football, I was just like thousands and thousands of people outside walking. I'm like, like I know nothing about football. Nothing.
I never even seen it, right?
No, yeah. Like I have nothing. No, and I'm like, what is going on here? Is a riot or something? It's like, no, it's just like fan. And like, that was like big culture shock. And also like, obviously the food, you know, mm-hmm. I'm used to my rice and beans, you know, and
so do you like the food back home better, I'm assuming?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I did. But, you know, eventually you have your burgers and you get used to it, you know, you get used to it. But it was all good, man. There's always, there's never a perfect situation anywhere you are, mm-hmm. you know. So I learned slowly that I got to make the best of where I'm at. I got to look for the positive and interpret my situation the most positive way possible.
Franklin, I want to throw out this name and you just go and tell me what comes to mind. Tom Minkle.
Patient. I would say thinker.
What did he mean to you as a wrestler? Well, being coached by him.
Well, when I was here, I knew nothing about the culture. I didn't know anything really. I'm telling you, a fact that a lot of people don't know is that when I came in to Michigan State, it was the second university I ever visited in my life too. Mm-hmm. So I never saw a university with my eyes.
Wow.
I never joined. You know how people like just hang out. Let's go to this football game here. Like just like. Tailgate, what? No, none of that. I'm like, I come from a country or culture that's like, there's no football, not none of that.
Right.
So when I got here, he was very, very kind, very welcoming, and he just kind of like even helped me get a jacket too and everything. I was just something like that. It was like,
gotta keep warm, right?
yeah. So very, very respectful guy. Very respectful guy.
What attracted you to Coach Minkle and made you want to be a part of his program in comparison to other schools?
Well, I'll say the to be honest, I didn't know anything about the Minkle or the assistant coaches. Mm-hmm. I just didn't know anything about the background. I know. So I live with a guardian. I live in Tampa, Florida for 2 years before I came here. And he would tell me, oh, yeah, he's Coach C. He did this, he did that. So that's the only information I had. For me, it was really more important. The most important thing for me was that they value me and they respect me. You know, so like I said, I could not tell you anything about them because I didn't know anything. I came here, like, you pick a school a lot of time because of the best coaches and all this. Like, I was like...
Just clueless.
I was like, these people comply with what I told them, which I just share. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm going to come here. The other schools, some schools were like, they have awesome coaches and whatnot, but they didn't comply with it. I was like, listen, I'm serious. I don't want to, like, you know, parties and all that stuff.
So they tried to take you to parties.
Yeah, like they did, and like introducing me to different girls and that and that, and I was just like, man, I'm not your typical guy, bro. I'm not like I'm serious. I'm leaving like home.
No, the girls are probably like, the honeys are probably like, okay, this is a different guy. Okay, let's keep it moving then.
No, I mean, I was still like, there's a lot of cute girls here too, you know. Don't get me wrong. But at the same time, I was like so strict with myself because I was trying to swim and make it.
Exactly.
I wasn't trying to swim and not make it on the shore, you know.
I get it. You were all about business when you came to Michigan State.
Yeah, so I developed also a close relationship with the assistant coach as well.
Right.
So I think they were like great, like, I would say a major part of my development in as a person, and also in terms of skills and whatnot. Chris Williams and Roger Chandler, which actually are the...
Roger, yep, is now taking... I want to get to him, but to close, we're kind of short on time here, Franklin, but I want to bring this up. I want to just talk about your experience being an Olympian. I mean, that's not something that every human being can say. There's only a select few that can walk around and say, yes, I represented my country in the Olympics. You've done it not once but twice, in 2012 in London and most recently in 2016 in Rio de Janeiro. What is that experience like? And comparing the two, what was the most enjoyable, what was the more enjoyable one, in London or Rio for you?
I would say probably Rio, because the first Olympics I had no clue what that was. In fact, when I qualified to the Olympics, I didn't even know how to qualify. So a friend of mine told me, you know, because I took second in the world the 2011.
Right.
And then I didn't even know being top six in the world would qualify you, because I wasn't even like, again, I didn't grow up with any sports or listening to any of this stuff. And
you said top six in the world?
Yeah, I didn't.
Wow. So, yeah, I think that qualifies. Frankly.
Yeah, so but I didn't know the prerequisite. I didn't know. I was second that year.
Mm-hmm.
And a friend of mine told me, and I was like, wow, that's awesome. And everything. So I didn't know what to expect. So I got there, and my first Olympics, man, I got really sick. I don't know if a change of temperature or climate just affected me.
Out in London.
Yeah, in London. It was hard to just enjoy the overall experience. But in Rio, man, I was feeling like a... like a million dollar bill, man. I was just like, like.
No. And it's closer to home, right? I mean, the atmosphere.
Yeah, it's like the Caribbean. You have a mix of all kinds of like Spanish people too, as well. I mean, I know in Brazil they speak Portuguese, but there's also a lot of Spanish people as well. And I was able to enjoy that, and I also performed like really well as well. So it's awesome, man. Think about this: you're like walking in a village. Imagine a big dorm with many buildings, and then walk in and be like, hey, LeBron, you know, hey, Shaq, whatever that might be there, you know, all this, like, Michael Phelps, all these people walking by, like, and at one point I was like, I see all this athlete getting autographed, and I was like, man, I'm not going to do that. I'm an Olympian, you know? like, they already get a lot of love. They get a lot of press. They get, you know? Yeah. Maybe they should get my autograph or something, you know? I was like...
You start talking to yourself like,
I'm in the Olympics, and I was just like, man, I think it's very unique, and it's a privilege to be there representing and fighting with all these countries, man.
Was there any athlete, Franklin, that when you saw in person, you were kind of like starstruck at all? Any athlete there?
Yes, my man Manu Ginobili.
Manu Ginobili, Isaac. I think you're a big fan
of
Manu.
That's my guy.
Right?
Yeah, yes, yeah. Good pick. I like it.
Yeah, and you know, he was just very calm and everything. And I just like, man, I almost wanted to be like, yo, man, I watched you we play all your games, and I just like the way he, like, it was kind of a little fragile, but he, like, fought hard. He fought hard.
All heart, right? Manu,
yeah, yeah,
right.
Yeah.
I have to ask, how big's the bald spot? How big's the bald spot?
You would ask that, Isaac, yeah.
Boy, it's probably big. He's getting older, you know.
He's getting older. He's getting older. That's so cool, Franklin. So before we get you out of here, Franklin, what are your next steps now? Are you trying to go to Tokyo?
You know what? I thank God for the lifestyle I live in, and I just stay away from everything that I think is going to hinder me from performing and having my body like 100%. So I feel like I can continue to one more Olympic. I think I'm going to try to. And I performed well, but there was some injustices in the last Olympics. Mm-hmm. Especially in the quarterfinal, I should have been in the semifinal. I should have won by at least 6 points. If people want to know what happened, you just go to Twitter. Gomez got robbed, and you know,
that'll pop up.
Everything,
okay.
you know everything that happened.
Zach is cracking up here. I have to look this up.
All the commentary, yeah. And I should have been in the semifinal, but I just feel healthy enough to continue, and if I stop wrestling, I know the next generation people from Puerto Rico, anyone who might have a chance, it's not going to come up right away. So I wanted to be able to, like, maybe last a few more years and wait so the next generation substitutes me, you know?
Exactly. Now, are there any other interests away from wrestling at all? For you.
What do you mean? Frankly. What's like
any other interest? I mean, deciding to go into anything else other than just sports.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, when I'm not wrestling, I like to read a lot of books, especially a lot of business book, leadership stuff, and so I'm trying to like grow. One of the things I learned here at Michigan State is that it's funny because school, you think you learn a lot about like class and everything, but the biggest thing I got from Michigan State is that, man, they force you here to read.
You don't like reading?
No, at first, it's not that I didn't like it. It's just that I didn't grow up reading. So once I learned, there was so, like, once you read, you learn so much. I just thought, man, I got to continue reading. I got to acquire knowledge. I got to feed myself. And so that's what I do on the side. I just read a lot, and I try to do motivational speaking and things like that in Puerto Rico. And anywhere they invite me.
Love it. The one, the only, Franklin Gomez, former Michigan State University wrestling national champion and two-time Olympian. And as we mentioned in our quick hit headliners, of course, the MSU wrestling team will be taking on rival Michigan this Sunday, 1 p.m. at Jenison Fieldhouse. And hey, Franklin, you'll be an honorary captain for that matchup. How's that sound? That's pretty cool, isn't it?
Sounds awesome. I I was many years ago, I watched people do that before, and I'm like, it's a privilege for me to be the person there. And I'll be definitely rooting for my Spartans, and I just feel honored, man. I can't tell you. I just so blessed. My life is just, despite the ups and downs, it's been a blessing, man. And I'm just thankful for the people at Michigan State for opening doors for me and allow me to work hard and try to do the best I can of this great opportunity.
Well, Franklin, it's been a privilege to have you a part of our show. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Everyone that's listening, I just want to send you a big hug, although I'm not seeing you with my eyes, but thank you for tuning in.
He's charismatic as well. Look at Franklin trying to take my job. How about that, man? Love that. Franklin Gomez, my man. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, again, we're taking your calls on the Super Bowl. Falcons and Patriots, who you got? Franklin, who you got? Real quick.
What you got first?
I'm going with the Falcons.
I'm going to go with you then.
He's going with me. Falcons. We're going with the Falcons. Franklin and I are going with the Falcons, all right? We'll have more chatter on the Super Bowl and so much more. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Was that a fun interview or what? Franklin Gomez, former Michigan State wrestling national champion, two-time Olympian. He competed out in Rio this past year and back in 2012 in the London Olympics representing Puerto Rico. Fun chat with Franklin. Again, he will be an honorary captain for this Sunday's match, Michigan State and Michigan, 1 p.m. at Jennison Fieldhouse. Again, we're taking your calls on the Super Bowl, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527, while you guys are calling in. Well, actually, can we get to this caller real quick? Before we bring on Isaiah Hull, sports writer for Wolverine 247 at 247sports.com, Isaiah's going to give us just a brief wrap-up of signing of the stars with the Michigan Wolverines, of course, as they introduced their newest recruiting class. And recruiting class that ranks in the top five in the nation. Pretty impressive recruiting class. Really quick call. We got Kirk from Grand Ledge on line one that wants to weigh in on the Super Bowl this Sunday. Kirk, how you doing?
Well, I'll weigh in on just a couple things. First of all, I know you're a cultural guy, like music and stuff, so I'm sure you have not brought up the fact that it's the 58th anniversary of the day the music died, the plane crash that killed Buddy Holly, Richie Valens, and the Big Popper.
Oh, no, I did not know that. Look at that. Man, that's a history lesson for us, Kirk. I did not know that. Wow. Historic there. Sad, but historic for sure.
Yeah. In regards to the Super Bowl, I'm not sure who to take. You know, the Patriots, when they've been in the Super Bowl, have never really blown anybody out.
Mm-hmm.
They've all been pretty close games. And I've been listening to different people talk about Brady does much better against zone teams like Pittsburgh than he does against man teams, and I think Atlanta plays more man. But New England had a much better defense this year than what they've typically had in some of their Super Bowl years, so I don't know exactly how it's all going to wash out. I'm kind of rooting for the Falcons, but I don't know how it's all going to play. But in regards to the NFC and AFC championship games, Al, I've been meaning to call in and mention this. Those trophies they give out for that,
yeah,
for that thing, got to be the ugliest trophies I've ever seen. They look like a sumo wrestler's uniform that has been chromed over, or you know maybe an athletic supporter chromed over or something.
Right. Oh, I'm seeing the picture. I had to refresh my memory. So yeah, it's like a wooden base, right?
No, I don't remember what kind of base it is, but it's clearly made to be light enough for elderly owners to be able to lift up over their head because it's mostly just two bands of chrome.
Right. So, okay, gotcha. Oh, I'm seeing it here. Yeah, I see what you're talking about. Yeah, it's not the sexiest trophy, to say the least, there, Kirk.
It's ugly. So, anyway.
All right, Kirk, appreciate the call, my man. Appreciate
right.
that.
Bye-bye.
517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Right now, let's get to our second guest for today's current sports, Isaiah Hull, sports writer for Wolverine 247 at 247sports.com. Isaiah is going to give us a brief synopsis of what took place earlier this week during signing day for the Michigan Wolverines. Isaiah, we had you on briefly, and I do mean briefly, during yesterday's show. It's good to chat with you with a little more cushion.
No problem. I'm glad to be here.
You got it. And Isaiah, before I start this conversation, when it comes to the Wolverines, who do you have in the Super Bowl?
You know, I'm not much of an NFL guy, so I haven't really looked into anything from like a highly analytical standpoint.
Right.
I just haven't watched many games this year, but I've got the Pats. I think I know a lot of the popular pick right now seems to be the Falcons here. And, you know, I grew up being like kind of a Falcons fan. I used to spend my summers in Atlanta. I watched the Falcons get blown out at a preseason game back in like 1993 or something like that.
Okay.
But they, yeah, I'm going to go with the Pats. I think this Tom Brady is just playing at such a high level right now. I can't see him losing again.
That for sure is the safe bet. All right, Isaiah. Well, we talked about the signing of the stars event during yesterday's current sports to close out the show. I didn't pose this to you though, because it's a question that we opened up Thursday's show with. And again, a vote will be taking place in April that will decide whether or not there will be an earlier signing date that will happen mid-December. I wanted to just throw that question out to you, Isaiah. Do you think that we will see the date pushed up to December when the vote takes place? And what benefits or downsides will that pose?
I definitely think that we'll see the December date happen. I know that they were talking at their prior meetings about making one happen as early as the summer as well. What's good about it is that it gives both the player and the school an ability to lock up that position. Player, they can just kind of, you know, finish up their recruiting and not have to worry about the kind of sideshow antics that come along with the whole recruiting process leading up to National Signing Day. Mm-hmm. They can just shut it down right then, focus on finishing out their high school career and getting, you know, ready to go to college. I do think it tends to benefit the school a little bit more than it does the player in some ways, just for the sake of if a school can convince a player to go ahead and sign that much earlier, then, you know, that gives them a little bit less of a chance to maybe rethink their process. However, in the same light, it does allow the player, granted it's December, it's not the summer, so it's not like they're going to be seeing, a senior season slide or anything like that. Pretty much almost everything save for the All-American games have been played at that point. But it wouldn't necessarily forego or, you know, forestall any kind of, you know, trying to sign with the school with, you know, rather than seeing their stock slide. And, you know, you see those late quote decommitments when players are processed late in the cycle. I don't think that would necessarily keep that from happening, but maybe it would benefit the players a little bit to be able to go ahead and put in their letter of intent in December.
Right. All great points made there. And I do also believe that, yeah, we'll see this date take place. We'll see this vote approved. I do believe that will happen. Isaiah, this is a Michigan football recruiting class that was ranked in the top five. A lot of big names and a lot of just great expectations surrounded around many players in this class. What makes this class so special in your eyes, Isaiah?
Well, it's not only a quantitative class. They brought in 30 commits this cycle. It's a pretty huge class. It's pretty qualitative, whereas last year's class had a lot of really high-end guys in it. But they still, while they had a pretty big class, the low end was a bit lower, I think, than this particular class, where you've got 17 four-star commits in this class. That's a pretty huge number. Mm-hmm. You've got two players that are the top of their position, the very top in the entire country, and wide receiver Donovan Peoples-Jones and center Cesar Ruiz. You've got seven players who have come in from their respective high schools as the top player in their respective states in this particular class as well. Obviously, Donovan Peoples-Jones is the number one in the state of Michigan, wide receiver out of Detroit Cass Tech. But even at the low end of what Michigan's got in the class, like Quiddy Pay out of Bishop Hendricken in Rhode Island, he's the number one player in Rhode Island. He's a defensive end on the weak side. So he's a guy that Don Brown really identified from his time at Boston College and said, this is a guy I want to bring in and be a part of this. He's a lot more special than people realize. Just you don't see it necessarily because of the level of competition played in Rhode Island. So there's a lot to like about this class. They really shored up not quite everything that they wanted to. Obviously, Michigan's losing a ton of seniors. You lose the wide receivers, but they're bringing in guys that can contribute immediately, like Peoples-Jones, Tariq Black, who's also early enrolled on campus right now, Oliver Martin, who's more of a slot guy. He definitely could have a shot, especially because we don't know what's going to happen with Grant Perry with his legal trouble from being in East Lansing there earlier in the fall. Mm-hmm. So there's lots of like there. The one thing that they would have liked to have done is bring in more bigs. Harbaugh actually said that Pat signing of the Stars is something that I've been saying that they've been wanting to do this entire cycle. They brought, ended up bringing in 13 linemen on both sides of the ball. They wanted to get 16. So they missed out on a couple of their targets, like Isaiah Wilson, who ended up going to Georgia. But they brought in some guys that maybe weren't expected to be a part of the class, like Aubrey Solomon, the defensive tackle out of Georgia, actually, or Chuck Deliaga, Aledo, Texas offensive tackle, who could be a quick contributor at right tackle. So they've got a lot of pieces that can really come in and be an instant impact guy.
And I'm looking forward to seeing a lot of those recruits. Isaiah, we're short on time. Again, Isaiah Hull, sports reporter for Wolverine 247 at 247sports.com. You can follow Isaiah via Twitter at Isaiah Hull. That's ISAIAHHOLE. Isaiah, thank you so much for your time, my man.
No problem. It's my pleasure, Al.
You got it. All right. Well, just a couple of minutes left in the show. Isaac, should we just skip the second break, dude?
Yeah, let's just skip it. Busy day.
Skip the second break. It's been a loaded show. And, you know, we're going to go right to Reflection Friday. It's been a busy week. A week filled with a ton of great segments, interviews, and a few stories that we didn't get a chance to elaborate on. Let's reflect a bit on the week that has been here on Current Sports. All right, Reflection Friday, TGIF. I really hope all of our listeners out there have a great weekend. Isaac, I hope you have a great weekend as well. I haven't told this to our listeners yet, but I'm actually heading out to Arizona for a few days. You'll be manning the fort for Monday and Tuesday's show. I'll be calling in on Monday's show. I don't like missing, of course, the Super Bowl, the day after the Super Bowl show. But I'll be calling in and give my brief thoughts on it, though. But thoughts on the Super Bowl, dude. I mean, I think that's the big story. One big reflection, I thought Franklin Gomez, fantastic, right?
No. Simply one of the best interviews we've ever had. Inspirational.
I think so, yeah.
I mean, on that line. But, yeah, Super Bowl, really excited for it. Falcons are my pick as well. 3 of 3 for Falcons from Franklin, you and I on the show today. And then, of course, a few dissents. But at the same time, I like Matt Ryan running that offense. But keep an eye on these defenses as well. If Malcolm Butler for the Patriots can do his job in the secondary, maybe things go a little bit differently. The thing is, Julio Jones, Mohamed Sanu, they tear that secondary apart, in my opinion.
Isaac was going to get his Super Bowl preview in, folks. I love it. I love it, man. I'm going with Atlanta. Mine is very brief. Atlanta 31-26. We'll see.
I like it. Also, call down, get Kurt Warner into the Hall of Fame.
Oh, yes, Kurt Warner, Ray from Indiana. He vies for his Kurt Warner. All right, folks, 10 seconds left. Have a great weekend. Make it a safe one. Enjoy the Super Bowl. We'll be back at it same time, same place on Monday. I'm your host, Al Martin. Be easy, people.